This is The World Tonight. Good evening. I'm Douglas Edwards, CBS News. The wholesale price index rose by 0.1% last month. That's the smallest increase in a year and could help retail prices. On the other side of the ledger, there's a discouraging report that drought and frost have taken a terrible toll of this year's crops. Ike Pappas has that story from Chicago.
The Agriculture Department's October crop report came as no surprise to Midwest farmers already hard hit by adverse weather. The government report estimates the soybean harvest will be 19% below last year's record yield. The corn crop will be 16% lower than last year's record. Corn farmers stand to lose over $1 billion. Soybean losses may approach the $500 million mark. Corn and bean farmers suffered unusually bad weather conditions this year. Late spring rains and a scorching summer drought depleted thousands of acres. Then in September, an early frost settled over vast areas of the plains with the resulting loss of millions of other bushels of produce. Agriculture experts do not expect food shortages because of the drop in production, but there are warnings to consumers that prices on certain food items may go up because of the smaller than expected crops. Ike Pappas, CBS News, Chicago.
At first, Representative Wilbur Mills denied everything. Police said he was in a car they stopped in a Washington park. Furthermore, police said he was drunk and bleeding from cuts on his face. Not so, Mills said at first, but today he admitted that he was in the car, that he had had some refreshments, as he put it, that it was a family party that his wife Polly couldn't attend because she'd broken her foot. Mills said he'd be back on the job tomorrow and back on the campaign trail the next day. David Dick has a report from the Mills constituency.
The Mills incident is probably the most talked about subject here in Little Rock, the heart of the congressman's district. The World Tonight went to the streets of Little Rock to get the voters' reactions.
Well, you never really jolted by anything that happens anymore.
Do you think this finishes him?
Oh, no. I'd be the last to say that he's anywhere near finished.
Does it change your mind about him?
No. I think we all have our times when we unwind, and I think it should be private.
Well, I was surprised. That's about the only thing I can say. I'm really surprised.
Will it change your vote?
I'll have to wait that a while.
Well, I guess I was surprised.
Did it change your mind about him?
Not really.
What was your reaction? Do you think that he may be finished?
Oh, heavens no, I don't think so.
What was your reaction, sir, when you heard the story?
He does, now he has to pay the fiddler.
One person who tries to avoid talking about the Mills incident is the congressman's opponent, Republican Judy Petty, who says she believes it is Mr. Mills' quote, personal problem. David Dick, CBS News, Little Rock.
The mayor of Boston is a bitter man tonight. He won't get his federal marshals, and the agitation over busing is far from over. Chris Kelly has a report.
The violence subsided today. Security forces increased while the mayor's office took on the White House. An angry Kevin White sharply criticized the anti-busing remarks President Ford made yesterday, calling them inflammatory to the tense situation here. At issue was White's rejected request for federal help in implementing the court-ordered school busing program.
We just had a president who said that we had to obey laws that he did not have to obey. And now we have a president that says that we must implement laws that he will not help to implement himself. So without federal aid and those questions resolved, I cannot longer commit the resources of this city to carry out that federal order.
450 state troopers and metropolitan policemen began protection duties for black students bused into the South Boston section. No serious incidents reported, one official saying, today was just a good day. Chris Kelly, CBS News, Boston.
This was election day in Britain. The turnout was lighter than expected, the final results not yet in. But when the polls opened, it looked like Labor's Day. Charles Collingwood reports.
Even before the polls closed in Britain's crucial election today, the odds shortened still further in favor of a Labour Party victory. Labour was odds on at 1-5 with the bookmakers at the latest quotation. This reflects the unanimous findings of the opinion polls and the betters' feel of the situation. The Labour Party, many think, is more likely to make peace with the big unions in what promises to be a winter of industrial and social discontent. whether the Labour Party does hold power in Britain after this election, or the Conservatives, or some sort of coalition, Britain's plight is so grim, and the measures that must be taken so severe, that no British government is likely to be wildly popular for long. Charles Collingwood, CBS News, London.
Another rally on Wall Street today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed around 648, up more than 17 points on a volume of 26,360,000 shares. The average price per share up 70 cents on the New York Exchange, up 16 on the American. Wall Street on This World Tonight. 1 year ago, on The World Tonight of this date, we were reporting the resignation of Spiro Agnew as Vice President of the United States. In many ways, he remains a man of mystery. Barry Serafin has a report.
A private man while in office, Spiro Agnew has become even more so since his resignation as Vice President. He's moved into a new secluded house near Annapolis, Maryland, estimated to have cost more than $100,000. He's made few public appearances, although he has been generally warmly received when he has. On the financial side, he has paid back money owed the government and collected more than $100,000 in advances and magazine rights for a novel he is writing about a vice president. Disbarred as an attorney, he has also reportedly found another livelihood through serving as a middleman in deals between business interests in this country and others overseas, including some of the oil-rich Arab states. Today, as he has through the past year, he declined to answer questions about his work or his feelings about his resignation. Associates, however, describe him as a man at peace, but with occasional flashes of bitterness over what he considers a raw deal that forced him from the vice presidency, and moments when he reflects on the political heights he might have reached. Barry Serafin, CBS News, Washington.
President Ford visited the First Lady in the hospital today. She'll come home tomorrow. And then the president flew to Detroit for another campaign appearance. Secretary of State Kissinger has spent another day in conferences in Cairo, and it seems that the Palestinians are at the heart of the problems that separate Egypt and Israel. Marvin Kalb reports.
Last night, a good part of today, and tonight too, Egyptian leaders, including Foreign Minister Fahmy and President Sadat, have been telling Kissinger that the Arabs want the Palestinians represented as a separate entity at a reconvened Geneva conference. Kissinger believes that is an invitation to a propaganda spat that won't accomplish anything. He would prefer going into the next phase of the negotiation, Egypt and Israel, involving deep Israeli pullbacks into the Sinai in exchange for some form of non-belligerency between the two countries. Then, in parallel, the beginnings of a negotiation between Jordan and Israel involving the West Bank. And only then, after all this, returning to Geneva. Kissinger is going to come back here on Sunday after conferring with the Israelis. Marvin Kalb, CBS News, Cairo.
Peter Collins has the fourth in a series of reports on Vietnam tonight. In this one, he looks at the prospects for peace.
When Henry Kissinger was negotiating with North Vietnam 2 years ago, it was said he was looking for an arrangement under which America could untangle itself from Vietnam while providing what was called a decent interval before Saigon fell under communist control. The Paris Agreement that resulted did get America out of the war and brought the prisoners back home, but it has failed utterly to bring peace to South Vietnam. As for the decent interval, it may be that if the present trends continue, it will be shorter than expected. All of the various mechanisms set up under the agreement to supervise the ceasefire and facilitate negotiation between the two South Vietnamese parties are rusting from disuse. The Four Nation Truce Commission has turned into an expensive ornament, paralyzed by the ideological split between its communist and non-communist members. The two-party joint military commission here in Saigon that was to be the most important instrument for supervising the ceasefire is deadlocked. The political talks in Paris between Saigon and the Viet Cong are hopelessly stalled. The National Council of Reconciliation, made up of communists, neutralists, and the Saigon side, that was supposed to supervise general elections, is nowhere in view. In short, few people here are expecting either peace or political movement until there's a change of leadership in either Saigon or Hanoi. Whether right or wrong, many Vietnamese believe their country is merely a pawn among the big powers. China, Russia, and the United States. They believe there will be no real peace until the big powers agree to let it happen. For Americans, the current annual bill for economic and military aid to Saigon is running at slightly more than $1.1 billion. For American policymakers, the unanswered question remains, for how long and at what price should the United States continue to maintain an anti-communist regime in South Vietnam? This is Peter Collins for CBS News, Saigon.
In the concluding report of the series, Peter Collins will look at life on the other side of the border in North Vietnam. And that's The World Tonight, Thursday, October 10th. This is Douglas Edwards, CBS News.